Good morning, everyone. So nice to see everyone sitting down, relaxed, chilling out, having a chat this morning. I don't know how you feel about the change format, but I was—I thought it was pretty good. As long as we're not feeling sleepy or too relaxed, you know, we need to be awake and alert and aware because I've got some good stuff today. It's going to be awesome, and I'm excited. And it might be a bit long because I've got more notes than I've ever had before, but that doesn't mean too much because praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through me, and His word is going to hit the mark this morning, right? We want some words, some meat, some truth, right? You want some truth? Want some truth? Turn to someone next to you and say, "You can't handle the truth." Hey. All right. Title of my message this morning, if you want a title, is "The Facts Don't Count." I'm just going to pray first of all. Dear Lord, we just give you glory and praise today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you would move in this place today, you would have your way, and that what the word that comes forth is of you from your throne, and it hits the mark, and lives are changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. So this is about where Israel was, escaped Egypt. They were in the wilderness for a short time. They went to spy out the land. And in verse 26, it says, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. 'We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit.'" They brought back a massive bunch of grapes, right? So the bunch was so big that they had to sling it on a pole and carry it with two people. Like, I've never seen a bunch of grapes like that where, you know, and they carried it, you know, they went in 250 Ks into the promised land, 250 Ks in, 250 Ks out. They were out there for 40 days. And so I don't know if the bunch of grapes was on their way out right there or whether they brought it 250 Ks. Can you imagine carrying a bunch of grapes, 250 Ks, and still having something to show for it at the end, right? Hey? This was some pristine quality grapes they found in the Promised Land. They also had, pomegranates and figs. You know, they said, "This is the fruit of the land." And it was good. It was good stuff. But the people who live there, they are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. So it's all looking good, but hang on. There's a few details that we need to really have a look at and assess. Caleb said, hey, calm down, everyone. You know, there was quite a ruckus about all these issues and all these concerns. But Caleb says, hey, he silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." But the others, the men who'd gone with him, said, "Hang on, mate, calm down, take a seat. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We know this. This is a fact, right?" They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. We don't want to be devoured. No, no, not us. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. They were going to squash us." So this group of people had escaped Egypt. They had the Passover in Egypt. They escaped death through the Passover. They escaped Egypt. They come out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea miraculously. God's made a way for them. They've received the law at Mount Sinai, but then they have the golden calf and they have the fire in the camp and they have the quails and they got sick from the quails and Miriam got leprosy and the reason for all these things, they had provision every step of the way, but they couldn't stop grumbling, right? They couldn't stop grumbling and they saw the negative in every situation and they said, look at this, look at that. Remember when we were in Egypt, we had the leeks and the garlic. I mean, I can understand them remembering the garlic, you know, the garlic is what it's at. But they had a culture of grumbling and you know what? They were enslaved for 400 years. Their generation upon generation upon generation had been in complete slavery. So what do you think that does to your mentality and to the culture of a group that has been together for so long? And so where would your hope come from? You know, you're in slavery. Your hope is in a nice meal of garlic, right? That's the best you can hope for in slavery. And so they carry this culture out of Egypt, and so when it comes to going to the promised land, they weren't filled with hope and expectation of provision. They carried this culture of grumbling, you know, not happy, and that provoked God's wrath time after time after time. And he says, when are these people going to stop grumbling and have hope in me? And, you know, Dave spoke about it this morning to the leaders about the church culture, and we've got it over here, family, community, kingdom, and love. And culture is so critically important to how we approach situations and what our attitudes are. And, you know, one of the greatest threats to church, the modern church, I believe, is the culture of the world infiltrating the church and diluting its power. The church, the power of the word, the power of God is diluted from external culture infiltrating and coming in, right? So we know that we can do this with the word, with scripture. You know, we can think like scripture is a bit like a salad bar and you pick and choose and you say, yeah, I like that bit, I like that bit, but I don't like the green leafy stuff, right? And you pick through the Bible what suits you and what you want to stand on and what you want to believe. You know, the scripture loses context because we cherry pick the bits and pieces that suit us. Money is the root of all evil. Heard that one before? It's not right. It's not right. The love of money, correct. All these things shall be added unto you. You can take that one out of context real easy, right? It's talking about the clothes on your back and what you shall eat. The truth shall set you free. That's a big one. You know, there's some cultural sayings that are getting more popular these days, and I don't know if you've heard them, you might have used them, but some of them just don't sit comfortably with me. I'm not talking about that they're wrong to use and you shouldn't say these things, but to me, I hear them used and I just think, oh, it just doesn't sit well with you. What about this? And I know close friends and family of mine have used it, and I might have even used it too, you know, you never know. What about go you? Anyone heard go you? Who's heard that? Go you. Now, it's a great one for if you can't remember someone's name, right? Go you. We used to say go you, good thing, you know, but go you. And I don't know whether it's the grammatic incorrectness of it. You know, it's not grammatically correct for me, and I'm a stickler for grammar. And so this go you just doesn't work. I'm like, it's great to encourage people, right? It's great to say, hey, well done. Go for it. Good job. I'm so excited for you to do what you've achieved or what you've done. But go you just doesn't sit with me. But there's another one that's very similar, and I think they're connected. You do you. You do you. Who's heard that? Anyone heard that one? You do you. And, you know, I think that's a great thing too in the right context, right? So you do you means feel brave to stand up for what you believe in. Feel brave to make your own choice. Feel brave to walk the way you choose to walk, right? Which is great. It's great for Christians, right, to stand up for their faith and stand up for righteousness. Yeah, I'm happy for someone to say to me, you do you, because I'm allowed to be free to make the choice that I want to make, right? But then there's another one which kind of stems on from that. And it's about, it brings in truth. And it's about live your truth. Or I need to live my truth. Who's heard that? I need to live my truth. Right, and suddenly you do you and you live your truth. And it's like, it's to me, it's it comes across like it's a commodity that you can pick and choose what your truth or what you might be, right? So you can it's like choosing food on a menu, right? So you can say, well, you live your truth, you do you, and you can pick and choose and decide what your truth might be. To me, that all each of them is a rebellion in my heart. I'm not talking about you and how you might use these phrases. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I'm just saying for me, I want to live the truth, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to do the truth. I want his truth and the truth to be my way. I don't want to do my truth, right? It's his truth that we need. It's not my truth. But, you know, those in the world, it's very popular to say, live your truth. Live your truth. What's your truth? Find your truth. Be your truth. Do your truth. And ultimately, they're saying, you can choose what you believe and make that your truth. And you can live your life according to the belief that you've chosen to be your truth. And it's saying you're free. You know, you're free to be independent and to live your life according to what you've chosen to believe. And so then it comes down to personal experience, because the only way you can form a belief is based on your experience, correct? So your personal experience then becomes absolute truth. And you're living your life of, and this is the world out there, they live their life based on their personal experience, which is what they claim is their truth. Anyone ever had a bad haircut? Had a bad haircut? Yeah, yeah. So all hairdressers, they're bad, right? All hairdressers are bad. You had a bad haircut. Is that right? Hey, we make these calls. I've done it myself. What about you go to a restaurant? You eat out somewhere. You're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the food that comes out, oh, it's rough, right? It's not what you expected. You got really bad service and bad food. That's it. I'm done eating. Anyone done that? Anyone said that? We make these rules in life based on our experience. I've done it too. But we've done this. I mean, we go to one church. We have a bad experience and we stop eating. I'm not talking about you guys. You're all here. But how many people out there? We make decisions on what we stand for. We make decisions on what the truth is based on personal experience. And so, is it the truth or is it a trap? Is it the truth or a trap? Because ultimately, you're the one that's made that bind, that vow, based on your experience. And I'm talking about the world does this, but we do it too. I've done it. I don't go to Hungry Jack's because everyone seemed to be unclean and whatever, and so I say, right, yeah, I'm not going to Hungry Jack's anymore. And then I go to McDonald's too long and I think, oh man, those burgers are horrible, and I go back to Hungry Jack's. And so based on our experience, we make choices and decisions, but I'm just talking about, you know, different things, but it comes down to what's in our heart and what we're holding on to in our heart. You know, John 1 chapter 1 verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. We can claim to believe something and yet we've made decisions about things in our life. We've made decisions about where we go, what we do, who we see, the relationships we have. And we can be in darkness in those things. We can be in darkness. We're not living out the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. Let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is awesome. You know, it's John chapter 6 is about how God can feed us, right? It's feeding of the 5,000. It's about how he can feed us. John chapter 7, John chapter 8, it's about how God can free us. And so in John chapter 8, I'm going to start from verse 31, but it's about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. They had not long before had the Feast of Passover, which is commemorating the Passover as they left Egypt. The Feast of Tabernacles is commemorating the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so in the middle of this, it's a week-long festival, and Jesus comes at this time in verse 31. It's right in the middle of that festival. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Not my truth, not your truth, but the truth will set you free. They answered him, saying, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? We're not in bondage. We're free. We're free. We were born into the right family. We're Abraham's descendants. We're free to do what we want. We're good. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. No room. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. Ooh, Jesus. Feel a bit of a fight brewing here. Them's fighting words. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. There it is again. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. For the only father we have is God himself. We are righteous, right? We are Abraham's children. God is our father. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. It's what he's been trying to tell them, but without spelling it out, but they just won't hear it. So he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. There's no truth in him at all. All he speaks is lies. Every time. So why do we listen to him? The devil's a liar. Dead set liar. But we listen to him. You see, the devil's a liar, but he works by deception, right? He's not out there in your face screaming lies at from the top of the hill that everyone can see. That's not right. That's easy to see, right? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it happens. He says things that sound true, that seem to be right, that are kind of right in a way, right? They sound like a good thing. And he whispers it. You know, the devil doesn't speak in a loud voice that you can hear with your ears. He speaks in a voice in your heart. And the thing is, it sounds just like your voice. He speaks just like you. So does God speaks just in your voice too. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. They don't speak out loud, but sometimes when you listen to the news, you might hear the devil's voice sounding like the newsreader, right? Because there's some lies that go on out there, but I'm not going to go into that too much. The devil wants you to hold on to your truth. He wants you to listen to the lie, listen to the deception, listen to the false teaching that can creep into your heart, and he wants you to hang on to that. Hold on to that. He wants you to make that decision about that situation that is not quite right, but is something that you're going to stand for and live by, and it's going to become your truth. He wants you to create your truth based on your experience, what's happened to you, where you've been, what you've walked through. Hold on to the truth that you create through your experience. You know, the truth will keep you set you free, but a lie will keep you bound. And you know, it's funny, sometimes we can be in bondage with a lie and we're comfortable in it. We like it. It makes sense to us. You know, this is our rationale for our situation in life. What situation might it be? It might be relationships. It might be people that we know, relationships that we have. Well, you know, people are just like that with me just because I'm like that. Or I have to do it like this. I have to go this way. I have to because that's just the way it is. And we get addicted to the lies of the enemy because it makes room for the belief that we make. The lies make room for our belief. We rationalize our experiences and we think, well, actually, you know, it was like this. This happened, and so there's only one conclusion, right? We look at the facts of a situation. You know, the fact is that they were mean to me. They said this about me, so how can I deny that fact? The Jews that Jesus was speaking to, they relied on the fact that they were Abraham's descendants. That's a fact. You can't deny that. That's who we are. And Israel saw the facts about the promised land. They said, hey, look, there's big dudes in there. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes, and they are huge. They will kill us. The fact is, those guys are over there, the Hittites, the Amalekites, the Canaanites are over there. These are all facts, people. We cannot deny the facts of the situation. Let's be smart here. Let's be wise. Let's not step out too far. But you know what? If God speaks it, if Jesus speaks it, then it's true, even if the facts say otherwise. Right? Even if the facts say otherwise, the truth is true. The truth is true. Not your truth, not my truth, but the truth is true. The truth for Gideon is that they had the victory, even though they're outnumbered 450-1. The fact is that they were well outnumbered, but God had a promise, made a promise that they would have the victory. The truth for Abraham is that his descendants would be more than the sand in the shore or the stars in the sky, even though the fact is that Sarah was beyond childbearing age, right? The truth for Jacob, his offspring would be as the dust of the earth. He would extend to the north and the south and the east and the west, even though The fact is that he had nothing and he's going to work for his uncle Laban. The truth for Joseph is that his brothers would bow down to him even though they sold him into slavery. And the truth for David, he would defeat the giant warrior Goliath even though he only had a few stones. The truth is what God says about the situation, about your situation, despite the facts that are there, despite the evidence that you can see. The evidence, the facts are irrelevant. The truth is that I can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens me, even though the fact is I feel weak and I don't feel able and I think it's too much for me. The truth is that I am healed in Jesus' name by his stripes, by the blood that was shed. The fact is that even though I'm in pain and the doctors give me a diagnosis, the truth is that I'm healed. The truth is that he is with you always, even when I feel alone, even when I don't know what to do, even when I feel lost and I don't know where to turn, he is with me. That's the truth. When you know the truth, the facts don't count. When you know the truth, the facts don't count. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That word know is an experiential knowing. You know it through experience. You will experience him as the truth and you will be set free. In verse 31, he's talking to the believers that believed him. He was talking to those that believed him because just before that is the part where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they bring the woman caught in adultery. They bring her before him and they say, Jesus, look, she was caught in the very act. And then we know that Jesus looked down and then he said he was without sin, cast the first stone, and they left. They were gone. And she was the only one standing there. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? And she left. The very next verse, 31, then Jesus said to those who believed him, they were the only people that were there, left there, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And that word abide means, is just like in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. Abide in my word. Keep my commandments. Then you will be my disciples. The Jews that were there, they believed his signs. They believed what he was doing. They enjoyed his message, but they didn't take it on board. They didn't change them inside. They're like, yeah, that's great. We love that. We're right with you when you can do things for us. You can do a healing. Yes, we're on board with that. But we're Abraham's descendants, and that's all we need. And so we discovered that it's possible to believe but not be free. They believed. They were Abraham's descendants. They believed God was their father, but they were not free. They had no room for him. They had no room. They were so held and bound and tied in what they believed about themselves. They were Abraham's descendants and that was all that mattered. They had no room for Jesus to move in their heart, to touch them, to change them. It comes down to what the devil was working in their heart by causing them to hold on to a truth that was not the truth. It was their truth. It was the fact, and it was not the truth. They had no room for the truth because they were full of their truth. Verse 39 says, Jesus says to them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. If you were, then you would do. If you were, If you really were, then you would do. Your actions would line up with your identity. Your identity drives your behavior. Your identity drives what you do. Your identity drives the choices you make. Your identity drives your attitudes to situations. Israel, in the wilderness, they identified as grasshoppers. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. We were grasshoppers. We saw ourselves small and they were big. The fact is they were big and they saw us the same. They identified as grasshoppers. They didn't identify as children of God. They didn't identify about how big their God was compared to how big they were. They didn't identify with them as being the children of God who can walk in power, in God's power and his anointing. But they had that slavery mentality. They saw themselves as small. Anyone else done that? Hey? So easy, right? So easy. So easy. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He has no truth in him at all. And we listen to his fear that tells us we're small. We listen to it. It's impossible to live higher than the level you're willing to believe God at. The way you see yourself, the way you believe God is to you, you cannot live at a higher level than that. And we see ourselves as small. It's so easy to see ourselves as small. We aren't confident. We aren't full of faith. We're in a difficult situation. We're struggling. It's hard to see a way out. We don't know what to do. We say, oh no, we stress. We listen to the lies of the enemy and we hold on to them because that is what we identify as. That's where we identify as who we are. And we have no room for the truth. There's no room for the truth when we're holding on to that. We're holding on to the lies that the enemy is whispering to us. It's a lid on your life. It's a lid. It's just, boom, that's it. God wants you up here. God wants to take you places. He wants to pour out in your life. He wants to see you move. He wants to see you victorious in every situation. But we've got this lid and we've got no room for the truth. In the wilderness, their identity in slavery determined their attitudes. In the wilderness, their identity as slaves determined where they would go, what they could do and what they could see. And that's why they kept looking back. You know, you cannot live in victory if you're looking back. You cannot hang on to things from the past. You cannot hang on to things that have happened to you in the past. You need to let go of those things because those things are filling you and making no room for the truth. You need to look forward in God and look forward because God is all about promise. All right? He's all about promise. He's all about good things. He's all about moving forwards and upwards. God never said, look backwards and hang on to that. Don't forget about that. Don't forget what happened last time. Don't trust this person again because you remember what happened last time. Oh, that sounds like the devil. The father of lies. 11 days. It took 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. 11-day journey. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2. 11 days is all it took to get to the promised land. And yet they ended up with 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years instead of 11 days. You know what? That's not just them. It's not just them. It's me. I'm there. 11 days, that's Thursday week. From today, Thursday week. And yet we've been walking in a trap. We've been walking in wilderness experience for how many years? Year after year after year. The devil's had us trapped in this wilderness experience because this situation in our life, we're hanging on to the lie, we're hanging on to the fact, and we've not got no room for the truth. The truth will set us free. We can turn a 40-year experience into an 11-day journey. 11 days might seem like a long time and you want it here and now, but 40 years? I was 4. Compared to Thursday week. You just got to keep it in context. They were there for that long in the wilderness. And we can be walking in that for years and years and years and years and years and years and years because someone hurt us. Because someone said the wrong thing to us. Because someone did something to us. And we see ourselves as wrong. We see ourselves as unclean. We see ourselves as grasshoppers because of what someone else did. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. The truth is what he says about me. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. In every situation, we've got to see the truth for what it is. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want the life, if we want the way, then we lean on his truth. His truth is in his word. His word is true from the front to the back. From Genesis to the maps. Front to the back, it's all true. And yet how easy is it to hang on to things that are convenient? You know, a convenient argument about the situation. The devil, the father of lies, no truth in him whatsoever, will tell us the convenient truth, the convenient facts, the convenient... He will remind you, remember this, remember what happened. God doesn't remind you. He speaks to your future. He speaks to where he wants to call you up, up and moving forward, overcoming. That's what Jesus wants for you. And the devil wants to keep you bound. The more the more lies the devil can have us hanging on to, the less room there is for truth. We need to make room for his word. We need to make room for the word of God to set us free. That's how we get set free. We can walk along with a limp. We can walk along with a limp. It's like a dog laying on a nail. You know this story? The dog lays on a nail. This guy comes to visit his mate and the dog's laying on the porch and the dog's like, howling, laying still. The bloke says, "What's wrong with your dog, mate?" "Oh, he's laying on a nail. I can't be bothered getting off it." We can walk with something and just accept it. We can walk with a disability in our life, in our heart, and just accept it. The devil loves that. He loves it when we hang on to stuff. And then he'll remind you about it. "Hey, don't forget about that limp you got. Remember that. Hang on to that." And the seed that he puts in our heart takes root and grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And we've got no room for the truth. We've got no room for the truth to set us free because this root that the devil has sown has taken hold and we've allowed it. Let's stand up together today. We got to remember the devil is a liar. Yeah? The devil is a liar. We can get familiar with the devil, right? We can get familiar and you hear his voice frequently enough and we accept it and we take on his lies, but he is a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him at all. And we got to develop a lie detection system. We got to detect his lies and say, "Hey, that's not truth. I'm standing on truth. I'm going back to my word. I'm going to read the word and see what the word says about my situation. I want to see my truth, see the truth for my situation." We want to stand on that truth. And, you know, you can do you if you're doing the truth. You can live your truth if your truth is the truth. Because there's only one truth, and that's Christ. And he is the truth for our lives. Let's close our eyes. Oh, Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And that abundant life is not in slavery. That abundant life is not being bound by the enemy, but it is in freedom and liberty, which you came. You came to set the captives free. And so, Lord, we want to stand in your freedom today. We stand on your truth. You are the truth. You are the way and you are the life. And that is the truth that we stand in our hearts, in our minds, and that's the truth that we hold on to. We make room for you today. Lord, any root, any lie, any false doctrine, any false belief, any experiential belief that we've held on to, we cast it down and cast it out right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give this to you. We open our heart to you and we say, Lord, have your way. We make room for you. We let go of the lies. We let go of the things that are not of you. We let go of the past. We let go of those things that happened in the past because we turn and we look to you. We look to you. You're our deliverer. You're our provider. You are the one that sets us free. And Lord, we just pray that you would touch us right now. Touch every heart in this place, Lord, because we've all got roots. We've all got lies. We've all got things, deceptions that we've held on to. Lord, set us free today. Set us free today. Oh, we come against those things and we let it go. We let it go. We choose your truth. We choose the truth that you are. We choose the truth, not our truth that we've made for ourselves for so long. We're taking the shortcut. We're taking the 11-day shortcut and we believe it for today. We believe that deliverance is happening today. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and touch each one, Lord. Touch each one of us, Lord, and let us be delivered in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and praise. You are the one true God. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Just listen to the Holy Spirit and let him tell you where that belief is, where that lie is that you've held on to, because he can tell you like that. He can tell you in an instant, remember, this is the thing. This is the thing that will set you free. This is the thing you need to let go of. This is the thing you've held on to for so long, and you can let it go right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Freedom, 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 freedom. Freedom today. Freedom today. Freedom today. The facts don't count. The facts don't count. The facts don't count. It's the truth that matters. It's the facts don't count. We stand on the truth. The truth and only the truth will set us free. We're after freedom today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, this, we get bound and we have blind spots and these things, we can't necessarily see them. God can see them. God sees, God knows what you need to change, the choices you can make, how to let it go, how to release from that thing which you're holding on to. But there'll be two lies that come straight away. Two lies that come straight away when you want to change, when you want to take a step towards the truth, the truth. First one, you don't need to. You don't need to. It's fine. It's fine. You don't need to. Or you don't want to. You don't really want to do that. You don't really want to take that step. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Look for the truth. Look for Christ. What he says about you. What he says about your situation. Because deep down we know exactly what God says. Even though it isn't the truth. Even though what we believe isn't the truth. We know what God says. He doesn't let it sit there. He's trying to let you know the truth every step of the way. We just got to let go. Let go. Let go. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we let go today. We let go today. We let go of those things. We trust you. We trust you to come in and take your place. We trust you that in this sensitive situation, in this sensitive thing, we trust you and your truth. You love us and we love you. We thank you, Lord. We stand in your truth today. We stand in your truth today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in the hearts of your people today. Freedom is here today. Freedom is here today. You want to set your people free. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If anyone needs prayer, feel free to come forward.
Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Bakuti saram babarusitan didibishikarabai. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.